Halacha Lemaisa, in terms of opening packages and so on, ostensibly this topic is really relative to the scope of other topics as far as the discussion in the Rishonim and Poskim. This is a small topic, but it's a very, very, very important topic. When one does Kriya, one tears on Shabbos, and there is a tikkun that's happening. So we saw last time that the Be'er Halacha is of the opinion that it doesn't have to be al menas litfar. You don't have to intend to sow, and you could be chayiv min haTorah. And the proof is Sif Yudalid in our Halacha. The scope of that tikkun is going to be the question for today. It's a very, very small topic, but the topic is very, very large in terms of halacha l'maisa. If you do kriya for a tikkun, the Be'er Halacha proved that most Rishonim and Achronim are of the opinion that it doesn't have to be al-menas litvar, the sheet of the ritva is a das yachid. So, but what is the scope of that tikkun? And that's going to be the question for today. And that question really revolves a dense Be'er Halacha Dibra Hamaskel HaMiyor. So what we're going to do is do that, the Siyat HaShemayim, do that Be'er Halacha. There are actually quite a few questions that contemporary poskim ask on this Be'er Halacha. I'm going to let ourselves be brainwashed a little bit by the Be'er Halacha. We're going to go with his assumptions of how he learned some of the Achronim. There's a fantastic sefer that's is hundreds of pages on Korea. The name of the Sefer, it's on Korea Binyan, called Binyan Shabbos. That's the name of the Sefer, Binyan Shabbos. It's written by a fellow, Rav Cohen. Rav Cohen was orphaned when he was young. Rav Shlomo Zalman knew his family, and he took him under his wing. And he then wrote a Sefer, a lot of it based on his conversations with Rav Shlomo Zalman. But the Godless of the Sefer is also the content itself outside of the Pesachim of Rav Shlomo Zalman. He does a fantastic job analyzing the sugis of Korea and the sugis of Bona. So I have it at home today. I printed out a couple of pieces from the Otzar HaChachma. It's on the Otzar HaChachma. So he questions some assumptions that the Be'er Halacha is making that I'm not going to repeat all of the of his questions, but you could take a look over there. And Kedarkenu, we're going to follow Be'ikvei HaChafetz Chaim and then see where that takes us. Okay, so what we saw last week is that when it comes to niyar, so then tearing it is going to be a problem. Last week we had a question, why did the Mishnah Berurah Shulchan Aruch say it's only an Isser D'Rabbanan? We had a long Be'er Halacha, we concluded with that, and Dibra Maskel in Shovrin. Leaving that problem aside, the Mishnah Berurah gives a psak in regards to an envelope. And we made reference to the sheet of the Nishmas Adam last time, Lashitas, so now we're going to entirely focus on the halachas, the envelope itself, and not develop in terms of Nishmas Adam, Lashitas, so we'll leave that for now. So the Mishnah Berurah says, in Sifkata Memal, V'lekroa igeres ha-mechutam, to tear open a letter that has been sealed, afilu mizar shelo yishbar osios ha-chasima, it's usher to open up the envelope. The Yesh Lizar is based on the Shita of the Pri Chadash that we're going to see quoted in the Be'er Halacha. And the Pri Chadash is of the opinion that not only is it usher midrabbanan to open the envelope, it's usher min haTorah, and therefore you can't even instruct a Gentile. Now, as the Be'er Halacha is going to allude to, I want to make this very, very clear before we start, because in the Be'er Halacha it's quite dense, and you don't see where, it's not so obvious where he's switching gears. There are really two different types of envelopes. I don't think any of you have seen it, but I, as a child, remember airmail envelopes. You know, does anybody know what I'm talking about?
It's in Reverbiat saying it's no longer the Maisa.
What's that? It's in Reverbiat?
Saying it's no longer the Maisa.
No, he says no longer the Maisa. Okay. So as a child, I remember two things are prominent as a little child, that I had an aunt who moved to Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem. Her three children are now happily married. She now has close to 100 descendants from her three children now, Bli Ayin Hara, close to 100 descendants. But once upon a time, we were a small family after the Nazis, but we've begun our revenge. So I remember as a child from this one aunt. So we had two ways we used to be in contact with her. One was with air mail envelopes, and the other was that my mother used to prepare for 15 minutes before a phone call, because every minute was a significant charge. So I remember my mother taking notes about what she wanted to discuss with my aunt before the phone call, so the price wouldn't run up. Back to the envelope. So the airmail envelope, which was cheaper, was a piece of, very simply, it's a piece of paper that's folded over and closed on top. And then when you tear it open, you would tear open the envelope, and then there was no extra envelope. I guess the reason for it was just to keep the weight down. If you had our classic envelopes, so then you have the envelope, you throw out the envelope, and you take out the piece of paper. So this was a way of keeping the weight down. That was known as an airmail envelope. So there are two different types of airmail, two different types of envelopes. The envelopes that we're familiar with today, where you put a piece of paper in, and then you have the airmail envelope. The airmail envelope, when you tear it open and you open it, you were taking something that was once an envelope, and you're now making it into a readable letter. In contrast to when you have an envelope that you tear open and you take out the letter, generally the envelope that's being used is going to be thrown out. It's generally not reused, although once upon a time there were people that also reused those envelopes. But generally that's thrown out, and therefore the type of korea might be different. In other words, it could very well be that if we're talking about an envelope that you rip open and you toss out the envelope and you read the letter, so it's kriya with a tikkun, but that tikkun is not in the envelope, because the envelope you throw out. In contrast to the airmail envelope, when you tear it open, you actually use it, and you hold on to those to that envelope. Okay, those are the two different types of envelopes, and those two different types of envelopes, we need to be choker on both of them, whether that's called a kriya with a tikkun. Dahainu, that even though you throw out the envelope, and you're not going to reuse the envelope again, you're not going to be able to read the letter without tearing it. So when you're korea with that tikkun, is that going to be considered a tikkun? And here we're going to have, as you have in our outline, you have three different shitas in the achronim. You have the most chomer position of the pre-chadash, you have the middle position of the pre-megadim that we've alluded to already in the past, and then you have the very sharp tshuva, the Chacham Tzvi and the son of Yaakov Emden, leave it to them, they'll always be very, very sharp. The very sharp tshuva, the Chacham Tzvi, that says that he doesn't understand why there's a shaila at all. Okay, so let's see the three shitas. Says the Be'er Halacha, Haniyor, Ayin Mishnah Berurah Mashik Asanu, and each one of those three different camps have a litany of achronim that go along with them. Ayin Mishnah Berurah Mashik Asanu Bein Psichas Eger Uberes. Ve'avar Ktsas Hapri Chadosh Biyoredeya Kuf Yud Ches Kasa Yisrael Haposcho Yesh Bazechiyu Chatosu Kli Amo. The Kriyas Hanaar Hu Mikalkel Amanas Lasakin. It's a kriya with intention to be masakin. V'tikuna Hu Mashit Sarach Liftoach Osa. The tikkun is that you need to open it up. V'chein Da Sefer Dechanos Tum Mikalkel Amanas Lasakin. So that is one extreme. The Shita, the Pri Chadash, it says that's entirely Aser. Now the Pri Chadash is a sefer that's hard to come by, but thankfully we have it in Hilchos Shabbos. In the Prima Gaudium. The Prima Gaudium quotes it, so what we're going to do is see the Prima Gaudium. The Prima Gaudium, Ration of Gimel Yud Ches, it's the first page in your booklet, Ration of Gimel Yud Ches, quotes the Pri Chadash in Yaradeya. What's it doing in Yaradeya? So there, they were discussing putting the Chaland in the Goy's oven. So the Shaila now is a Basar Shenis Alam Min Ayim Shaila. So are you allowed to leave the meat into the guy's oven? So what's the Eitzah? The Eitzah is to lock the oven. So are you allowed to lock the oven in a way that you want to access the Chalent on Shabbos? That was the problem that the Pri Chadash was dealing with. So take a look in the booklet. Kasar Pri Chadash, Be'in Hatmana, Be'beis Akum, Chalent, Hitter B'chosem Echad. So there's a discussion in the poskim whether you need two chosamos and one chosem, that he's matir with one chosem, vaf meftech lechud. Avalachtom b'niyar, but the eitzah was to seal it with paper, which we do, by the way, today, right? Just think about airplane food, right? The caterer puts their tape around it. Vilikroa b'shabbos, but now you need to tear it on Shabbos. Aser, de mekalkal amanas l'sakin chayim in ha-Torah, So it's a case of kilkul amenas l'sakin. It's aser mishvus la'akum b'mlacha din Torah aser aflat tzarach hamitzvah. Okay. So this was the position of the pri chadash. So pri chadash, then the Be'er Halacha says, would say the same in regards to an envelope as well. That at the end of the day, it's true, you're not interested at all in this chosum. You're not interested at all in the paper that is blocking the envelope, but that's the same thing as the paper that's being your chosim for the oven. So in both cases, you're doing a kilkul, you're tearing. Fundamentally, you're not getting anything good out of this piece of paper, but at the end of the day, you're going to be misakin. I made reference to that some of the Achron challenged the Be'er Halacha, and there is a little bit of a leap over here, the Binyan Shabbos points out. He asks this as a kasha, because the Be'er Halacha extends this also to the air flight letter. And you could differentiate between the case of the Chosen and the air flight letter. But the Pri Chadash over here is saying that both of them are going to be Asur. And the Be'er Halacha assumes that whatever, at least at first glance, he seems to assume, whatever the Pri Megadim responds to the Pri Chadash in regards to the Chosen will be the same issue in regards to the letters as well. Okay. By the way, just if you like rabbinic entertainment, so if you take a look, the Chacham Tzvi, the classic Chacham Tzvi, at the end of a tshuva, the Chacham Tzvi at the end of a tshuva, he's talking about, it's a tshuva in Yaradeya, and the Pri Chadash, the Sefer Pri Chadash had just come out. This is an interesting historical piece. The Pri Chadash Sefer had come out, and the Chacham Tzvi would go through the new Svarim that came out, and what he didn't like, he would write in his tshuvas, Agav Ruisi, that there's this new sefer that came out, and these are the things that I don't like that's written in the tshuva, in the sefer. So Chacham Tzvi writes, and maybe the sugi is too painful, but I'll say it anyhow. Rabbi Yonison Eibeshitz was not the first person who got in the crosshairs of the Chacham Tzvi and Rabbi Yaakov Emden. By us, we have a Masaira. We call Rabbi Yonison Eibeshitz the Rebbe Rabbi Yonison. That's to show that the Masaira was Makabel, was not Makabel any bit of Lashon Hara on Rabbi Yonison Eibeshitz. Anyhow, and of course, the Chacham Tzvi and Rabbi Yaakov Emden were Gedolei Torah themselves, which is what makes the whole controversy so painful. But the Chacham Tzvi was a Mevakei Shemes Ad Hasof, and he didn't hold any arrows back in his quiver. So the Chacham Tzvi writes at the end of the tshuva in Tshuva Lamites. He writes, "Gam masha also lekroy haniyara chosam b'shabbes va'fil idei akum v'erech bazeh hakol hutoyz gomor." He says the Pri Chadash, what he wrote in Sefer, he doesn't know what he's talking about. It's a mistake. V'shari le morei she'aser es hamuter v'heter es ha'aser. He says the Sefer Pri Chadash, he's been mater which is aser and is oser which is muter. Kasher hechachti b'rayas berurus b'makom acher. I've already proved everything in this in other places. The Faro Chachti Alpana Biyosir Poli Manu, and then he says, "I rebuked him when he came to visit over here." Vishasakli, but he made me be silent. He didn't. He entirely ignored me. So Chacham Tzvi then probably felt he had to take it to the next level, that he must write down that if the Pri Chadash is not listening to him, so then he has to write it that the Pri Chadash is wrong. Now, what's Rabbi Yaakov Emden also has this in his tshuvas. He echoes his father's position. And he writes that that the halacha is that it should be mutter. What's missing is exactly what is nekudas hamachlokas over here, because Chacham Tzvi says I've written in other places. I haven't seen that the Achronim chased down exactly what the Chacham Tzvi's svara that he wrote in other places why it's going to be mutter. But the Mishnah Brura is going to speculate on part of the issues that are at play. In fact, the Pri Megadim goes on, and he writes, "B'tshuvas Chacham Tzvi kasav b'nafochu." He says that the halacha is exact opposite, that lo mi boy mafeach lo achos and echalo mahani. That first of all, he was matir in Yaradeya, and that was wrong, and that was he was oser in Orachayim. And then he says, in such a case, that's going to be Osir. So the Pri Megadim is sympathetic with the Chacham Tzvi in Yaradeya, but he's not sympathetic with him in Hilchos Shabbos. In other words, the Pri Megadim is going to side with the Pri Chadash, but in a middle ground. And that middle ground we've already seen previously. The Prima Gadim says this is the age-old question of Malacha She'eina Tzricha L'Gufa. He says at the end of the day, you're doing a Malacha, Korea. There is a Tikkun that's happening, but it's not a Tikkun in the envelope. In the envelope, you're throwing it out. This is how the Be'er Halacha understands it. That understands the sheet of the Prima Gadim. You're going to throw out the envelope. So if you're going to throw out the envelope, so then in such a case, that is similar to all the machlokis of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. You're doing a malacha, but what you're doing is, let's use Rashi's definition, you're removing a negative. Right now, what you'd be interested in is just reading the letter. You don't want the letter closed. But you're tearing. That's a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa. That's totally in the machlokis Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. So take a look in the Prima Gadim, continuing on, where I underline the Amnam Mashikasa the Kroa Haniyara the Akum Shari Eini Yodea Kaes Time Moshel Dover. That the Chacham Tzvi was Mamish Matir. That he went too far. In other words, he's going to agree that it's not Pashut, that according to Rabbi Shimon it's going to be Aser, and according to Rabbi Shimon it could very well be. There's room to argue that it's mutter, but the problem is, how does the Rambam paskin the machlokis Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon and Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa? He paskins lesser. So continues the Prima Gadim. The Rambam Perek Yud Hilchos Shabbos Hilchi Yud Hakorea b'chamaso chayiv. If you're korea in your anger, so then in such a case you're chayiv. Now, when you're korea in chamaso, you're doing a tikkun in the chayfetz. The answer is no, you're not doing a tikkun of the chayfetz. So what's a Rambam Shita? Like we've already developed last time, that's the Shita that holds that Korea, even when it's not Almanas Litvar per se, but there's any outside tikkun, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're going to be chayiv, just like HaKorea B'chamaso. That's what the Prima Gadim assumes. That's just like Korea B'chamaso. Who did the Korea in the Yard, the Hoksa Maichu, Yisr Torah, Asr, Ayin Shin Yud Dalid. So this is the psak of the Prima Gadim. So we have really three very dramatic tracks. Each one of these shitos are very dramatic. One track is the shita of the Pri Chadev. So it says, this is a Korea with a regular tikkun. Everybody is going to hold that you're chayiv. In the words of the Achronim, it's a Korea that's a kilkul kan, v'tikkun b'makom acher. It's a kriya that's a kilkul over here, but the tikkun is somewhere else. It reminds me of the A.B. Rottenberg's song about Lumbus, the Pula is over here, the Chalais is over there. So that's what, there's another example, that the Kriya is over here, but the Tikkun is over there. It's in his song, Yeshiva Sharei. So the one of his lines is, the Pula is over here, the Chalais is over there. So too, over here, the Kriya is over here, the Chalais is over there. That's enough to be Chayim. That's the tikkun's over there. That's enough to be chayiv. That's the shita of the Pri Chodesh. The other extreme, you have Rabbi Yaakov, the Chacham Tzvi, and the son of Rabbi Yaakov, and then we're going to see many others who say no. They say that at the end of the day, this is just a kriya to have the tikkun over there. That's not going to be relevant, and there's room to say that it's going to be heter gomer. And the middle ground is to say it already was machlokes tanoim, and the Rambam was machmir, and therefore the Prima Gadim says there are many things that the Chacham Tzvi got right, but he's surprised that he went so far as to say that's going to be mutter according to everybody. Those are the three tracks. Now, the Be'er Halacha comes along, and Be'er Halacha says, aha, he says, I hear what the Prima Gadim was saying about the Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. However, he says, that makes sense if we're talking about, the Be'er Halacha says, that makes sense if we're talking about an envelope like our envelopes. But the airmail envelopes, he says that you should be chayiv even according to Rabbi Shimon, right? Because when it comes to the envelope that we have today, you rip it open, you toss it out, assuming the Chafetz Chaim emphasizes only if people toss it out and don't reuse it. I remember Holocaust survivors that used to reuse their envelopes. But assuming most people that throw out and don't reuse it, so then in such a case, then the halacha would be, then you would be, Yitzhak's coming back. Then the halacha would be that you're going to be potter and possibly mutter. But if we're talking about a air flight envelope, where what you're tearing it, you're now turning the envelope into a igeres, so then in such a case, even Rabbi Shimon would hold your chayiv. And that's how the Be'er Halacha essentially concludes. He makes reference to these three shitas, and he says that is the way. That is the way to go. So it sounds like the Be'er Halacha himself was sympathetic to this machlokas between taking it apart as machlokas Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, and therefore what comes out for the Be'er Halacha is that there's a lot of room to be made go in a case of our envelopes, but there are machmirim, and this then gets involved, and maybe we could discuss this in Seder, I'm not sure if it's necessary for us to do in Shir, this gets involved with how did the Mishnah Berurah pass on Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. So it's well known that the Rambam is machmir on Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. However, in the Mishnah Berurah, there are many places that the Mishnah Berurah himself was Mako. So that's why what comes out is the Lekroa Igeris, back into the Mishnah Berurah himself, the Lekroa Igeris HaMuchna, Afilu Mizar Shalom Yishpar, Osios HaKsim, Rak Yikna, Yikra HaNiyar, Shesvila, Gam Kein Asa Lekulei Alma, Yesh Lizar Lo Letzar Gadol. He is being Choshesh for those who are Machmir, like Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, but we do know that at most it might be in Yisr D'Rabbanan, it might not be in Yisr D'Oraisa, and therefore the Alidei Eini Yehudi B'Makom Tzarech is going to be mutter. Many poskim today actually push a more lenient position than the Be'er Halacha himself had suggested. If you take a look at the Chazon Ish in Simin Samach Aleph Siv Beis, he writes the following. He writes, Ubikriyat Hamatafa, in regards to tearing open the envelope, Im Eina Choshesh L'matafa Shetishaches, if he's not worried about the envelope getting destroyed, Havale Ki Korea Or Shal Pichavis V'Ein Kan Mishum Korea. He says, it's like the halacha that we're going to see, and we're going to spend time with down the line, the halacha of ripping open leather that's there on top of a barrel, and that's not going to be subject to the iser of Korea. He's concerned, and the Chazon Ish's concern I don't think applies today, that there are people who maybe will tear envelopes and hold on to the envelopes, but in general, it's like this halacha of Korea, the Or and the Chavis, and we will be masbir exactly how that heter works towards the end of the shir. Now, the Nishmas Adam, though, aside from making reference to that halacha, the Nishmas Adam objects to the approach of the Prima Gadim that says it should be telling Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. Brackets, the Nishmas Adam, Hamevin Yavin, held that Korea Amanas Litfar Dafka is totally in the Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. He agrees that there are times it's totally in that. However, here, the Nishmas Adam says, it's not totally in the Machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon at all. And we'll explain. Leave aside the Nishmas Adam Lishitaso, let's just remind ourselves of a very important Gemara. The Gemara on Daf Kuf Hei is a very telling Gemara. We mentioned it briefly last time, but now let's maybe even do it inside. The Gemara says the case of HaKorea B'Chamaso is really dependent on the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. That when the Mishnah says HaKorea B'Chamaso is going to be chayiv, so then the case, the brisa that says that you're going to be chayiv, that's going according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says Malacha Shein Tzu Kufa is chayiv, while according to Rabbi Shimon, the halacha is that you're going to be chayiv. So Prima Chadash, Prima Gadim, excuse me, two peros. The Prima Gadim had said that it should be talui in the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Comes along the Nishmas Adam and he says there's a big difference between the case of HaKorea B'Chamaso and the case of the envelope. And that you could see in the Nishmas Adam, these two ha'aros of the Nishmas Adam, one we made reference to last time, Sifkat and Aleph, now that we're going to see the end of Sif Beis, are very, very yesodistic of pieces. And he says that the Prima Gadim made a mistake. He says there's a fundamental difference between HaKorea B'Chamaso, that you're going to be chayiv, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and when compared to the case of tearing the envelope. About six lines from the Badin, he says as follows, Va'afilu l'Rambam poter b'zeh. Even the Rambam would agree that this is the Rambam who passes Machshen Tzichu Gufes Chayiv is going to agree that you're poter. Why? Sharei al kolpanim kriyas haniyar hu kilku b'niyar shlo amenas l'taken. There's no intention to be misakin at all. Ve'ena doimel l'karei al meisai u'bechamasa l'Rambam l'chayiv. What was the Prima Gadim's argument? That it should be like the case of Kriya B'chamasa. And the Prima Gadim's approach, like we saw last time, that many said that anytime you have Korea, where there is no Tikkun in the Chefetz, that should be totally the Machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. He says, maybe that's true about Korea B'chamasa, but when it comes to envelope, it's different. Why? The Hasam HaKriya Gufa Yiyatikun. When you're Korea B'chamasa or Korea Al-Mesa, the Kriya itself is the tikkun. The act of being korea is causing the person to calm down. Or the act of kriya is being mekayim the mitzvah of kriya by an avil. By the way, there might be tzvei dinim by the avil. By the avil, there might be two parts. One is the maisa kriya, and the other is to create a beged karua. That might have nafkaminas even in our sugya in Hilchos Shabbos, but I can't get involved with it right now. Avol hacha ein sarach lekriya zu klal. But over here, you don't need this kriya. Umekalka on a yard. Over here, what are you doing when you're tearing the envelope? What you're doing is you're just destroying the envelope to get to the thing. So there's no tikkun at all in the kriya. So it comes along Nishmas Adam, and Nishmas Adam disagrees with those who are being tola it in that machlokis. The Be'er Halacha says that he thinks that's going to be talui in what type of envelope we're talking about. If we're talking an envelope that's an air flight envelope, he says there you are doing some type of tikkun. However, if you're tossing it out, so then it might be different. So it's possible to look at the air flight envelope as a tikkun gomer to be chayiv according to Rabbi Shimon, or you could differentiate between within Rabbi Yehuda to say that you're going to be chayiv for melacha shein tzrich legufa, but not that it's a tikkun gomer. There'll be two different levels within the Be'er Halacha. So this is Nishmas Adam's response, and many, many poskim are sympathetic to Nishmas Adam. We already saw that the Chazon Ish is not being tolet within the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, and then the argument would go that at the end of the day, it's not comparable to Korei al Meso, and then even according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not going to be an Isser Min HaTorah, and then to instruct a guy, so then in such a case would be instructing a guy only on a Din Derabbanan. And I mentioned to you, you have in your booklet a couple of pages from the Sefer Binyan Shabbos. He does a tremendous job over here. I'll just share with you one interesting raya that I thought he had, a very, very sharp raya. He brings a raya from the Rambam that we're going to spend a lot of time on this halacha, on Bava page Kuf Chav Zayin. I chose this raya because we're going to be discussing this. The Rambam Perakov Gimel Halacha Beis writes, Shover Odom Es Achavis Lecho Memen Grogris Luvach Lo Iskavim Kli, that you're allowed to break open a barrel in order to get to the food. Now, the Rambam is the Baal Memra, who holds Melacha Shein Tzrich Legufa Es Chayiv. Yet the Rambam says you're allowed to rip open something, you're allowed to destroy it. Here the Shaila is going to be Soser, not Korea, but you're allowed to destroy it in order to get to the food. But wait a second, according to the Svara of the Prima Gadin, why don't we say that should be totally the Shita of Melacha Shein Tzrich Legufa? Now, we're going to spend a lot of time when discussing Soser that there are those who will hold that the case of Shover Adam Es Achavis is a case of a Mustaki, a barrel that is not a strong barrel. But the Rambam doesn't learn the case of Shovar Adam Es Achavis is a mustaki. So according to those who say that's not a strong barrel, then you have another heter at all. Maybe there's no Maaseh Stira at all. But what about the Rambam, who doesn't say that's mustaki? So Rav Kohn points out that it could very well be that the Rambam himself is a raya to what the Nishmas Adam was saying. And that is that the Rambam holds that Rabbi Yehuda is not going to say that Melacha Shein Tzrich Legufa is going to be chayiv in a case in where there is no tikkun whatsoever in what you are breaking. In what you're breaking, it's entirely a maisa kilkul. And yet, what you just happen to be using it to access something else, the breaking using it to access something else, that tikkun in the paper is not going to be considered a tikkun. That tikkun in the food is not going to be considered a tikkun. That is an interesting raya from Shitas HaRambam. Okay, so these are the three tracks. I didn't mention one Maror Makom. There is reference in your book of Mishnah Brura to the Chacham Tzvi and Rav Yaakov Emden. I found that the Sha'arei Tshuva, if you want to just, if you're using the Mishnah Brura and you want to find them where that it's quoted in the Mishnah Brura, you take a look, Sha'arei Tshuva Shin Zayin Hei has it. He actually presents the Chacham Tzvi's frustration with the Prichadish in a slightly different way. In Shin Zayin Hei, he quotes that that the Chacham Tzvi strongly disagreed with the Pri Chadash, and then he says, "V'gam nasa v'nasan Pri Chadash fa'atzmo ponim al ponim v'lo matza ma'aneh." He says that the Chacham Tzvi said that he asked all the Pri Chadash all of his questions, and he didn't get any legitimate answers. And then he quotes the Yaivitz that was also Mekel, and the Elyo Rabba who was Mekel. So Sha'arei Tshuva seems to be more on the side of quoting the Mekilim, as well, and the Nishmas Adam develops a little bit more because the Chacham Tzvi and the Yaivitz didn't develop that much. I did find one raya in Shas to our to this triple track, and that is from the Sugya on Lamed Aleph on the Beis. In other words, could we bring a raya from Gemara Rashi Rishonim to this question in regards to Korea? So we say in Bat Mem Malikim Chasa Aner Chasa Al Hashem and Chasa Al Psila. Chayiv. So the Gemara asks, Chasal Apsila is going to be Chayiv Neshu also Pecham. So Gemara Lamed Aleph on the Bay says, Rabbi Yossi Kiman Svira. This is Rabbi Yossi Shita, the Chasal Aner. So Gemara says, who's Rabbi Yossi following? Says the Gemara, Iker Rabbi Yehuda Svira Le Afilu Bahanich Nami Chayiv. Iker Rabbi Shimon Svira Le Psira Nami Lepater. Amar Ula Lo Olam Ker Rabbi Yehuda Svira Le. Because Savar Rabbi Yossi Soser Amanaslin Nos Mikomo Havi Soser. It's true. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't need it always to be a Mlacha Hatzricha Lagufa. However, Rabbi Yossi says it needs to be that even if you're being Mekalkel something, and there's some tikkun that's happening, it needs to be Bimikomo, in the same place. So hence, the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yossi, the halacha is that Rabbi Lacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is going to be chayiv, but you need the pecham. It needs to be that you need to use that pecham. Something needs to be used in that place. The pecham you need to have. Now, if you didn't follow how I connected that to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, go over that Gemara. It's not an easy Gemara. You need to read the Gemara a couple times. But now everybody should be able to follow what I'm about to say. And that is that the Gemara says the Rabbi Yossi Shita is that to be chayiv on Soser, it's almanas livnos finikomo. You have to build in that particular place. And Soser livnos shelo finikomo, if I break down a wall to build the brick somewhere else, that's not considered Soser. Okay. All you need for now is this cloud. That Soser, according to Rabbi Yossi, needs to be Almanas Livnos B'Mekoma, and you need to know that it happens to be Rabbi Yossi is also B'Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. Comes along the Meiri and the Ritva. Both of them say the same thing. Their Mazbir, this din of Soser Almanas Livnos B'Mekoma, like the din of Korea. Take a look. Let's start with the Ritva. The Ritva of Tum Samach Zayin, he says, Pirush dumia de korea almanas lichtvar umochek almanas lichtov de ba'inan almanas lichtov b'mekaymai v'litvar b'mekaymai. You need, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says a melacha shein tzrich l'gufa is going to be chayiv, and you're doing something that's going to be destructive, and it might very well be that almanas lichtvar doesn't have to be almanas lichtvar mamish, that there needs to be a tikkun. But the tikkun needs to be in the item, in some way in the item. Even if the tikkun is not almanas litvar, it needs to be in the item itself. But if you're destroying the item, and it happens to be that in destroying it, something else good is going to happen, that even according to Rabbi Yehuda might not be chayiv min ha-Torah. So I want to bring a raya from this Ritva. And the Meiri, you'll take a look. The Meiri says the exact same thing in Pshat in the Gemara, that this is going to be an answer to what the Prima Gadim was bothered by. The Prima Gadim is bothered, and by the way, in the Binyan Shabbos, he also found an Avnei Nezer. You can take a look that the Avnei Nezer says something very similar, not from this Gemara, from another Gemara, that the Mekilim are going to say like this, even if we pass him like Rav Yehuda, like we have Shita Saramba, but at the end of the day, if the tikkun that's happening has nothing to do with the item that's being destroyed, so then in such a case, that can't be an Isser Minat Torah. The Korea Menas Litvar to be a tikkun is not that it happens to be that there's something good that's happening. Korea Bechamosa is different than the Nishmas Adam explained. There, the Kriya itself is the tikkun. The Kriya itself is the tikkun. Here, it's Ashkasa. It's Ashkasa of the envelope. It's Ashkasa of the envelope from beginning to end. The fact that it happens to be good for you because of such and such and such, that's not going to be relevant enough to make an Isser D'oraisa. Even according to Rav Yehuda, Mechura Beferish Ritva and Beferish Mi'iri. So this would be a raya to that shita. Okay. So Rabbosai, let's get Lamaisa. So what comes out is that you have an absolutely fascinating shaila in regards to two fundamental shailas within Simin Shin Mem in regards to Korea. One fundamental shaila is Korea al Menas L'Sakein, is that an Isur D'Oraisa or not? And there the Be'er Halacha loads everybody up to one side, although we pointed out that there might be more Mechilin than just the Ritva. But that's how the Be'er Halacha loaded up on one side. Then the Be'er Halacha continues on, and he says, but what happens if the tikkun is not obvious in the chetes? So that is the case of the envelopes, and we have the peros, the pri chadash, the pri megadim, and the nishmas adam, who's entirely maple. So I'll go sign now. I think I just, it's not checkmate, but I think I put us into check right now. And that is, if you went with the Chafetz Chaim, and not like the Nishmas Adam, and you were told in the Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, are you allowed to open up potato chips on Shabbos? Are you saying no? If you're going to tear, maybe if you're opening up on the seam, that might be a different Shaila, but L'churo, even that would be a problem. Unless you're going to be Mechadish, say it's not really a Tefira, because it's a Tefira Shalom, now Kayama's there for. But let's say you're doing a Maisa Kriya to open, and we do this all the time. So then according to Chavetz Chaim, L'churo should come out a problem. Only according to Nishmas Adam would it come out with Kula. Why? Because according to Nishmas Adam, it's going to be, well, I don't even know if Mota, right? All we'll get it down to is Mlacha Shem Tzircha Gufa. It won't be an Isser Minat Torah. Okay. So here, Reb Shlomo Zalman took a different approach, and the Chazon Ish is making reference to it in that Chazon Ish that we saw. And this is based on the sugya of Shoiver Adam Es HaChavis, and it's a very, very, very important approach. And the Mishnah Berurah points out, it's a Beferish Tosefta. Says the Mishnah, Kuf Mem Vav Min Alf, it's in your booklet, Shoiver Adam Es HaChavis Lechol Imenu Gregris. A person is allowed to break open a barrel in order to eat the food that's inside. So opening the barrel is going to be mutter. So how do we understand the nature of this heter? We all know this, that food is different, but somehow you're allowed to do things, which is really, really strange. In other words, the elementary school way of saying it makes no sense al pi halacha. The elementary school way of saying it is that for food it's mutter. But that doesn't make any sense. Food is not pikuach nefesh. So what exactly is the nature of the heter? So by the way, Rabbo said there's a wild Rashi over here. If anybody has a good shot in the Rashi, they have to come tell me, please. Rashi says like this. Rashi and Dibra Maskel Shoyver Adam. Rashi says, Shoyver Adam Meleya Drogers Besakin Oy Besayit Lechon Men Burgers De'ein B'Mekalkel Shum Isser B'Shabbos. There's no Isser B'Mekalkel on Shabbos. So of course, what's very difficult in Rashi is, what? Kol HaMekalkel in a Peturin, it's Pater HaVelaser. What in the world? does Rashi mean when Rashi says that it's going to be there's ein b'mekalkel shum iser b'shas? A very, very strange Rashi. So the Ran on this Gemara quotes a Rashi. He says he has no idea what Rashi's saying, but he gives the conventional pshat that most people that most people mean when they say the elementary school way of saying it, that there's no problem of tearing when it comes to food. So what's the pshat? So the Ran says, Pirush Rashi, the second line from the top, also I photocopied it for you. It's the first the Ran says Rashi doesn't make any sense. Of course, it's an Isser Derabbanan to be Mekalkel. So the Ran says, by the way, this gives us the background of why almost every Kitzer book will always say, when it starts off discussing halachos of tearing on Shabbos, will always say, do it before Shabbos. Why? Because it's Mekalka. Litzor Shabbos is mutter. But it's really not Litzor Shabbos if you were able to do it on Friday. If on Friday you were late and so on, so then ain't a chanami. But really one should try to do it before Shabbos. That's where it comes from in the poskim. Now, there's a very important Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah in... We now segue to Shin Yud Dalet. We're going to be stuck in this beautiful simon for a while. In Shin Yud Dalet, Sif Ches, we have... Sif Zayin and Ches. We have the halachos of opening up different kalim in order to get the food that's inside. And the Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan Chaf He says, "Umutar gamken lekroa ha'or me'al pi chavish shel yayin uvelvat shel yichavin laso zino." The Mishnah Berurah quotes a Tosefta. I think the Magen Avraham made this Tosefta famous, and that is that not only do we have the heter of shover adamas ha'chavish, but also Sifkata Kafein and Mishnah Berurah, but also we have the heter of being Korea. So one needs to understand what is the nature of this heter. What is this heter of being Korea in such a case? So the Ran said it's Korea Litzor Shabbos, and then in such a case it's going to be Wutter. But wait a second, Rabosai, what are we going to do in the world of the Prima Gadim? How's the Prima Gadim going to be matir in this case? Because at the end of the day, the Prima Gadim said that as long as you have some type of tikkun that's positive, that's emerging, in such a case, it's going to be mutter. So what's the nature of this heter? So the answer that has now become famous, the Mahalakha has become famous, which is attributed to Rav Shlomo Zalman, but in many ways we saw a reference to it in the Chazon Ish, is in Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, in Perek Tes, in the old edition, Os Yud Aleph, where Rav Shlomo Zalman suggests the following. He suggests six lines from the bottom, on page Pei Vav in the old edition. Dikivan sheyesh besel chachavis ocho. Since inside the barrel there's food, Havale kishover egos. It's considered as if you're breaking open a nut. You're opening a nut in order to act the shell of a nut in order to access the food that's inside. The best term to use for this is the heter of klipa. And that is that there's going to be a difference between the case of the prima gadim and the cases of food, because anything that's surrounding the food is considered a klipa to the food. We don't consider it as an envelope. We don't consider it as a beged. We consider it simply as a klipa. If that's so then in such a case, that is going to be the heter over here. And he says, ve'ein baze iser kriya. So then in such a case, there isn't going to be an iser kriya. And this was, Rav Shlomo Zalman used this heter left and right. We're going to come back to this again in a couple of shiurim, and that when it comes to breaking open cans as well, that you could use this heter, that obviously there are many different types of cans, many different types of situations, we'll discuss that, but that is why it's not called a Maisa Kriya. It's not a Maisa Kriya, and that's what comes out from the Tosefta. Obviously, the Prima Gadim is going to have to learn that Tosefta. So how is the Prima Gadim going to learn that Tosefta? He will learn that if the or is there as simply to protect the food, and it's, you remove the or simply to access the food, then just like no one would say that there is a Maisa Stira on a nut, its shell, so too, there isn't a Maisa Kriya on the hide, and there's no Maisa Kriya on the paper. So then in such a case, one could be Mako. So that will come out, that according to the Prima Gadim, it's not going to be totally in that. And then we could go even further, then even the Pri Chadash, whose Machmir, in the case of the envelopes, might be Mako over here. Now, you could have pushed the envelope, no pun intended, and say that the halacha, that according, you could say that the envelope is also a klipa. But that's harder to say. The envelope, a klipa, it's not really a klipa. When it comes to food, then in such a case you have the concept of klipa. But to say that the envelope is a klipa for the letter, you could argue, there is room to say that. But if you notice, everything is kaftar b'ferach in the Shmir Shabbos Gilchus. So if you take a look, he says about 10 lines from the bottom, v'gam l'pri chadash, towards the end of the line, v'gam l'pri chadash, simen shin mem, v'ber alocha der anas kol yor, shekosa da korek, de lo tzu chayiv, af l'gash m'kalka samatafa, mishtaber, shesover the time to share the cry, or api achavis, u'mishun l'kim shesh t'achavis ha'ochel, ham leke shover egos. So that's exactly the right way. The way we've been presenting it was the kavana of Rav Neuver Tzatzal, that even the most stringent position of Korea is going to be moda that one is allowed to tear open in such an instance. Yes, Rav Neuver?
What's the svar that it only applies to food?
Svar would be like this. When it comes to food, there is an inherent idea that you have the food item, and you have something that becomes a klipa to the food item. That's the way we eat, is we remove a klipa. So you're not going to call that sosa, right? The shittas that would hold that there's sosa on kalim, even on small kalim. But this is not called a kalim. It's not called a kalim. It's called food. And therefore, everything that's around it is a klipa. But a klipa that is around a non-food item, we don't see that idea of a klipa. We don't have a tosefta that says that you're allowed to tear a small kli to get to something that's inside of it. So when it comes to food, foods have klipas. So why we have that by chavis, right? We have two marimekomos now. We have a Mishnah on Kuf Mem Vav by chavis, and we have the din of the Tosefta by the barrel with the or. Yes?
That's because food is more like a tzarech than a...
No, I would formulate it. I would formulate it differently. I would formulate it in terms of the nature of the relationship between the food and that which surrounds it. There is a inherent, even miteva, relationship between the food and that which surrounds it. An envelope and a piece of paper are created separately. It's you after. Many, many hands have gone through processing the paper, and many, many hands have gone through processing the envelope. You've put the two together, and then you created a relationship. In contrast to the intrinsic relationship within food. Now, comes along the Tosefta. Tosefta is Mechadish. That not only does that apply to natural food, the same applies with the natural way people store food. This is the natural way for people to store wine. You can't have wine if you don't have barrels. So that becomes part of the ochel. That becomes part of the ochel. That, in contrast to the envelope. Okay. I'll just conclude. I mean, these are the yisodos, the siyata d'shmaya. A small sugya, but of course very, very important. And finally, just to have the map of how the sugya works is the siyata d'shmaya really important. Just to show how one of the great poskim today applies this, Rav Asher Weiss Shlita in Chelek Aleph, Simin Chaf Ches, discusses the big hak that we're actually, Simin Chaf Ches is what we're going to learn shortly, and that is opening bottle caps and so on Shabbos. So he discusses the opening of whether opening a cap is going to be considered making a kli. So we will hold off on his maskana as far as that's concerned. But then in the next tshuva, he says, okay, now that I passed in this way in regards to the bottle cap, okay, I'll give it away, that he holds that the bottle cap is going to be mutter. So he says, but they asked me, but what about korea? So you're not over the iser of being tikkun kli, but what about the iser korea? What are you going to say? So when you're opening the plastic cap, is that, and you're tearing it, so that's korea. So he quotes, there's a famous posek, he's no longer alive, from Meir Sha'arim, Reb Brandstoffer. His children are now big motzim in Meir Sha'arim. Real, the Eda Charedis, one of the poskim, big poskim from Eda Charedis. So here Rav Asher Weiss begins to move away a little bit from that camp, and he strongly disagrees with Reb Brandstoffer. That Reb Brandstoffer followed the Pri Chadash. And that he says that the Pri Chadash said that Allah is going to be Asur when it comes to opening the envelope. So too, he says over here, it's going to be Asur. So at the end of the day, Rav Asher Weiss then says he thinks the Chacham Tzvi and the Rav Yaakov Emden and the Avnei Nezer are all correct, that it's not the same case as Korei B'chamasov, and it could very well be that it's entirely Mutter. And he says, even if you're going to go with the approach that we saw at the Prima Gadim, that's going to say that's totally in the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, he says he doesn't think that one would have to be machmir as well. He says, number one, he says he thinks that the Mishnah Berurah paskin like Rabbi Shimon. That's number one. And he says, number two, ve'ein nir alomer dekriyas ha-mitzah benidon na'pil chadash ha-misakin kimish is a darko afmos gachol. The kach gam b'sakios ochel k'donosh. My name is Moshe Kosser Rishonim. That's not the svara I was looking for. One second. Yeah, the next page. He says, sov davar nira ikar. Ultimately, my last svara, the previous one is a little bit of a kilkul, but the ikar svara, he says, the kriyazu kilkul gamur v'lo tikun. V'kivan she'en bo el kilkul shuv muto tzarech ochel k'chol hani. Choso shel v'tmarim, or shel piachav is. So ultimately, Rav Asher Shlita comes back to this idea, and that is that if you're tearing something that's around the food, then in such a case, it's going to be mutter. And he points out that the Chazon Ish said this in our Chazon Ish, in Samach Aleph, and he adds a Chazon Ish in Nun Aleph Yud Gimel that says the same thing. And somewhere along the line, I think Rav Asher Shlita also makes reference to Rav Shlomo Zalman's position as well in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchos. I don't see it right now. But either way, whether he makes reference to Rav Shlomo Zalman's Svar or not, it's clearly the same Svar. So our analysis, whether it was subconscious or not, I don't remember anymore. From the last time I prepared this year, we ended up going in the same direction as Rav Asher Weiss, that there are machmirim in regards to envelopes, but at the end of the day, it's essentially really what Rav Asher's tshuva is doing is just really fleshing out what Rav Neuberg was miramis to in his footnotes, that even the machmirim would be mako. The one knesh that Rav Asher Weiss is doing is that he's saying the same. Not only does it apply to potato chip bags, it applies to tearing as well of a plastic cap. The same would apply. That would be mutter. Okay, b'siyat d'shmaya tom v'nishlam. This is Korea. Yes, one second. And Amir Hashem, what we're going to do is we're going to start binyan and stira b'kelim, which is a very, very important sugya. It's one of those sugyas that if you don't do that sugya, you can go through the Mishnah Berurah, and you know you can be familiar with basic poskim. But because there are a lot of Gemaras, it's one of those things that you'll never feel like you really know it unless you do it in Kola. So I'm glad that we're hopping around before Pesach. It's not enough just to go through the Shmir Shabbos Kilchos and the Mishnah Berurah. It's kedai to go through the Gemara Rashi Tosin as much as possible. There's a lot of Gemara Rashi Tosin on the Sugya of Binyan Stir Bekelim. It's a large Sugya. It's different than Korea. Korea was quite localized. There's not a lot of, how many posts we discussed in regards to Korea? There's a lot of posts in regards to Binyan, Stira, Bekelim. There's a lot of Rishonim. So the Seattle Mishnah, we'll try to shite as much as we can together. Yes, is it Yitz?
Yeah. Okay, the Rebbe Kuzman Mishnah and Shimon Dalar.
Okay.
He had the qualification of Ulevaj Lehavim Astos Zeno. Is
yes.
There any halacha ma'aser ramifications, like especially in the Rosh or Weiss's case, aren't we trying to make this?
Right. What Rav Yitz is asking is like this: who can answer his kasha? I think there's an answer. So first of all, let's just spell out, because I didn't spell out. What we're going to discuss is, we haven't touched on up until now, is that when you open something with the intention to make a Pesach, that's going to be another shayla. There are two shaylas when we talk about kalim. One is binyan and stira b'kalim, constructing kli and breaking a kli. That's one shayla. And the other shayla is lasos Pesach yafet. By the way, that machlokes is already amurayim. When you make a Pesach yafet, is that makel patish or is that bonin? But either way, there's Pesach yafet is a problem. So Yitz points out that the Mishnah Berurah in Chaf Hei said that you have to be careful that when you're tearing open the or, not to make Pesach yafet. But if you're going to make a Pesach yafet, you run into that problem of the Isser of Pesach yafet. So I think that it's different. He asks, what about over here? This is the bottle. I open up the cap. So I made a Pesach yafet. Right? So I think what you have to say is like this. You have to, in this case, the Pesach already existed. This already existed. They put the plastic on top. In contrast to the or, when you rip open the or, if you rip it in a way where you make the Pesach yafet, that's going to be a problem. The application of that is going to be milk bags. You take a look at Shmir Shabbos Gelchasa, he's concerned about opening milk bags, making a Pesach yafet. In my younger from days, what I would do with the milk bags, if I realized in the house, let's say we ran out of milk, let's say two of the kids had cereal, and then you needed another two hat, or I needed coffee or something like that. So what I would do is I would open the milk bag from the bottom, slash it from the bottom, and push out the milk like an udder, like milk from an udder, straight into a pitcher. Why? Because then you don't have the problem with Pesach Yafa. Then you're mamish removing it as a klipa. But to make a Pesach Yafa on top, that would be a shayla. Now, I'm not saying everybody will hold that's awesome. I'm saying, but if you want to be choshesh for that, that would be your case, Yitz of the Mishnah Berurah. That would be the parallel. But in this case, I don't think that would be the shash. I've become more mellow as I've gotten older. I don't know.
You need
like
a plastic bag. It's so disposable. You can make a
Pesach Yafa with. Right, that's the shayla. But the Shmuel Shas says machmir. It's in front of us. Here, just take a look. I'll just show you, to show you, not crazy. He says, oh no, I'm sorry, it's not the one in front of us. It's the next page on Pei Zion. On Pei Zion, he says, when you're making the hole in the plastic milk bag, he says, be careful not to make it, he says, to make a tiny hole, which also becomes quite inconvenient. In a way, it's a lot easier if you have a pitcher easily available just to slash it and have the milk fall in, and that might be enough. Yes, I'm sorry. You followed up.
No, I'm just asking specifically the qualifications that you can't make a Pesach that's
Lazina.
Is a good flow, right?
In other words, the Shmir Shabbos Gilchasa understands that what Zinuk means, it means a Pesach Yafet. You could have been more machmir. You could say that the simple reading of the words is that you can't make a hole at all where anything is going to come out. But most poskim today get out of it by saying as long as it's not a nice Pesach, then that's going to be enough.
I'm saying when you open a sandwich bag, it's also doesn't make a nice Pesach.
You shouldn't. In other words, if you're opening it on the seam, so then there'll probably be another hefter, and that is that you're not really tearing, and they made it in a way that could open easily. But what often happens is often many of these things are hard to open, and you just tear. So then in such a case, you shouldn't open it up in a way that's like a nice opening. You should just tear it open in order to access the food. You should not try to make it a Pesach Yafet.
Would this be like on tissues, like opening the box, not the...
Right, that, exactly. Yeah. And that's also a question of the Chatech as well. But right, an example of that, similar to that, is opening a tissue box, not to open up on the top where it makes a Pesach Yafet, but to open up at the end on the side of the tissue box would be an example of that. Yes, ma'am.
So if you didn't buy Korea on the Chama, you are going to be doing a tikkun. Is there like a nice example of something that wouldn't be a tikkun, because even in the case of like an envelope, I mean, despite the fact that it's not on the chayfets, isn't there always some sort of tikkun if you're ripping? I mean, it seems hard to imagine an example where there would be no reason for doing something outside of, you know, I don't know, irrationality.
In other words, you're asking how we have a case of korea that's not a tikkun?
Right.
Okay. So then that goes back to how to define a tikkun. So Pri Chadash said that that anything positive, that's enough to be chayav. We saw that Mishnah Brura said that it's only going to be if you're doing some type of tikkun that would, any positive result tangential to it is only going to be chayav according to Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so now let's come to your question. So according to the Pri Chadash, your question is a strong question. Anytime you're doing something positive, anytime you're tearing and something positive is coming out, then it should be problematic. And that's why we said when it comes to opening food, the heter is going to be the idea that it's a klipa. If you don't have that heter, then according to the pre-fundish, it's going to be a problem. However, if you're talking about the position of prima gadin that says that it should be totally in the machlokis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, so according to Rabbi Shimon, you need to do something positive in the item itself. In other words, an example of that would be that you're taking the milk bag, using our milk bag example, and now you make it into a functional picture for a period of time. That might be something that you're doing. That you're doing something that's positive in it, and that might be chayiv according to some, even according to Rabbi Shimon. Okay. So, but if you're simply ripping apart the milk bag just to empty out the contents, then it could very well be that it wouldn't be korea even according to, even within the halachos of korea. In other words, even outside of the heter of klipa, let's say you didn't have this heter of klipa, in such a case, it still wouldn't be a ma'aseh koreah. The reason why it's not a ma'aseh koreah is because you're not creating anything positive intrinsically. And that, according to Rabbi Shimon, is going to for sure be mutter. And then there are some who say that even Rabbi Yehuda would only say that that's called the malacha shein tzrich legufa if there's something positive inherent to the item in its destructive state. So when you tear b'chamaso, you're doing something positive when destroying. But what happens if you're doing nothing positive? You're destroying the item, but it happens to be that something else that's flowing out is going to be something good. Maybe then in such a case, that's going to be mutter as well. Who was that? That was in the Shmas Adam's position. That was the Chayyavim's position. Okay? Does that answer your question?
I think so. I'll do some consideration.
Okay.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Good. All right.